5 minutes past the hour. This is Fox Sports 910, Richmond Sports Station. Glad you could join us on this Friday morning. Danny Noakes filling in for my dude Wes McElroy. Hope you guys have enjoyed the show to this point. If not, it's about to get much better. It's my pleasure to welcome in our first guest today. It's a man whose voice you've all been hearing for many years. A man who usually isn't forced to listen to my voice until the afternoons when we chat each week on the radio down here in Blacksburg. John Lazor is the voice of the Hokies, and he's kind enough to give us some of his time on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. You can find him on Twitter at LazVT. Laz, good morning, my man. How's it going today?
Good morning, Daniel. Good to see you. I think we're in apartments next to each other and somehow connecting through Richmond.
It's an interesting dynamic that we've got going this morning, isn't it, partner? Well, you know, I asked you earlier this week whether or not you felt like the College Football Playoff Selection Committee put the best four teams into this thing. We both agreed that they did just that. It's created a couple of fascinating matchups. But the more intriguing news Sunday came from the Virginia Tech realm. Of course, if we're looking at Hokie Nation here, Justin Fuente announcing that he had thwarted all attempts to pull him from Blacksburg, citing that he and his family were incredibly comfortable and happy at Virginia Tech. And with everything going on in college football right now, Jimbo Fisher to A&M, Willie Taggart to Florida State, and most recently, Jeremy Pruitt to Tennessee, there's been a lot of tension. I'd imagine Tech fans thrilled the way the transition went when Fuente came in 2 years ago, but also I'd imagine they're pretty stoked just to hear those words come out of his mouth on Sunday.
Yeah, they were excited to hear those words. They didn't necessarily need to hear them. I'm glad Justin Fuente said them because I was sick of hearing about it, quite frankly, when I already knew the answer. And I'm a bit surprised at the level of nervousness throughout the Hokie fan base because Justin Fuente is not going anywhere, and that doesn't matter if it's Florida State or anywhere else. Even if it was Oklahoma, I wouldn't have been all that concerned. As he said, and if you know him, Danny, which you and I have gotten the chance to do, or get to at least, he loves it here. I mean, this was a job that he sought out. This was a place that he wanted to move his family, his three young daughters. I mean, you only have to come to Tech Talk Live and see their hair still wet coming from swim practice or volleyball or wherever else to know that they're ingrained in this community. He's not the type of guy that's chasing money. You know, as he's told me many times, it was about football, yes, but it was about quality of life. And, you know, he's got his own golf cart on the course that he lives on here, and him and his coaches can go out after practice and sneak in 6 or 9 holes and whatever else. His life is where he wants it right now, and his program is about to be too. So, you know, again, these coaches' searches, we used to deal with it. Richmond fans can relate. They just had Shaka Smart back in town this week with the Texas Longhorns, and eventually he did leave. But there were a number of times before that where there was growing concern when there really wasn't a chance that he was going to leave. So, you know, right now, where it is today with the age of his daughters and family and where this program is, he's not going anywhere. And it wasn't a surprise, although I'm glad he nipped it in the bud so we could stop hearing about it, quite frankly.
Yeah, and when we talked on Monday about some of those reports that found Justin Fuente as a candidate for some of those head coaching vacancies, John, you said, did anybody ask Justin Fuente about whether or not he actually wanted to be the next coach at some of those destinations where there were a head coaching vacancy? It's definitely an interesting question. I think most of us in Hokie Nation knew that Fuente had no desire to leave. But Sunday, John, we also learned Tech's bowl destination as well as their opponent. Hokies' 25th consecutive bowl appearance, and they get Mike Gundy and the Oklahoma State Cowboys. A lot of headlines to look at in this matchup. I find it interesting that Gundy recruited Fuente while he was coming out of high school, and of course Coach Fuente ultimately picks the Sooners instead of Gundy's squad. I'm sure there's a lot of mutual respect between the two programs, but I'd also imagine might be a little bit of extra motivation to win this one, right?
Well, the extra motivation might not be personal because of the Oklahoma ties and all of those maybe there. I'm not sure about their relationship going back that far. But the extra motivation is that the perception is that if you win 10 games, it makes it a markedly more successful season than if you don't. And both of these teams are sitting at 9-3. So for Justin Fuente, it's put another number on the wall in terms of recruiting and all the things that you can point to going forward and into the not too distant future with the success of this year and next year's recruiting class. But yeah, that 10th win is what the Hokies want. This is a careful what you wish for type situation, I think, for both teams, because you play to a higher level bowl and the Hokies are half a notch higher than they were last year and a full notch or two higher than they were a couple of years ago. But that means that the caliber of opponent that you get is also a lot higher, and this is a dangerous Oklahoma State team. This offense is, you know, right up there with the elite units in the country, and it's going to be an awesome matchup between that Oklahoma State offense and Bud Foster's defense. And I think we both know proven commodities what we're going to get there. I think the intrigue for me comes in with how much advancement can you make or can you achieve throughout the course of these weeks and this basically second session of spring practice with so many young players for the Hokies, so many injured players for the Hokies going into their regular season finale against UVA. And what will this offense look like when you come out on December 28th?
John Lazor is brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff and there for you in any case. And you can find John on Twitter at GlazeVT. You mentioned the matchup between Bud Foster's lunch pail defense and the Oklahoma State offense. No doubt it'll be fun, John. They're going to have to stop Mason Rudolph as well as James Washington, who won the Fred Biletnikoff Award last night. That won't be easy, and they've been trying to get some of those guys that have been injured patched back up here over the next couple of weeks, but they had a couple of guys fill in nicely in that UVA game.
Yeah, without question. And you're not going to have any Mahota, and you're not going to have Terrell Edmonds, both of those two players having surgery. So, you know, you're just hoping that a Mook Reynolds, for example, is back and healthy and your secondary is a little bit more solidified than it was. Although, with that said, the guys that filled in over the last couple of weeks played outstanding. So, again, like I said, for the offensive younger and more inexperienced players, hopefully that game experience now coupled with the weeks of practice they'll get leading into the game will make it look more like it might look next year with some of these younger guys stepping in against Oklahoma State. But let's be clear about it. This is not an offense that you go in hoping to shut out like you did against Virginia and like you posted 3-0 this year. This is an offense you try to contain. You try to make one-dimensional. I would imagine Bud Foster, as he generally does, will try to take away the running game. That in itself is going to be quite a challenge. And then we'll probably more than likely see Mason Rudolph throwing the football quite a bit in that football game, and that's a dangerous proposition. So again, it's not a game that you go in thinking you're going to put up a bagel, so that's why the intrigue lies for me on the other side is not can you keep up. I don't think the Hokies can win a shootout, but can you contain that offense to a degree that makes it a reasonable ask for the offense to go out and score enough points? And also, Greg Strowman's been very active on Twitter, Danny, and I'm not sure if that punt return is in the offing, but that would certainly help if you can win the edge in the third phase, too.
Strowman, one of the most productive special teams players and defensive players in the history of Virginia Tech football. I got time for one last question, John. I want to switch it up, talk some men's hoops with you. Wednesday night, another victory for Buzz Williams and Virginia Tech men's basketball. A win over Radford 95-68 inside Castle Coliseum. Maryland Eastern Shore's up next. They're going to invade the Castle Sunday afternoon at 3. It's the last game that Tech is going to play before they head out to Lexington a week from Saturday to battle John Calipari's number 8 Kentucky Wildcats in Rupp Arena. Clearly the Hawks aren't the same caliber team as Kentucky, but they're going to have to get up again for Maryland Eastern Shore and then, you know, keep that intensity as they get ready to go into a very hostile environment.
They're not. I've had this one circled for a long time. This is a game in which, from the outside perspective, you probably won't learn a ton. A lot of respect for Bobby Collins, though, and the coach that he is, and also a former Hokie great ace Custis is on the staff. So it'll be good to see Maryland Eastern Shore in the Castle. But I think for Buzz Williams, look for this early, fans, if you're watching this game. What he's basically trying to do at the moment is foster a deeper bench and tighten up his rotations before not only you get into Kentucky, but you only have a handful of games with the Christmas break and the break for finals, which comes this week before you get to Syracuse, which is bearing down on you on New Year's Eve. So look for some early playing time for P.J. Horn, Wabisa Beattie, and Tyree Jackson, particularly if the Hokies get off to a good start in this game, because those are players 8 through 10 right now on your depth chart that you need to try to foster some meaningful minutes so that you know and you have some data to back up what it might look like if you played them in meaningful situations and closer games, which of course you're coming to, because this team right now, you got a lot of excitement with it because of where they rank offensively and what they've done and what they are offensively, but there's also some unknowns due to the schedule that you've played and the fact that you haven't had but one true road opportunity against Ole Miss to see if you can take the show on the road and show that same toughness and show that same quick strike ability. So it won't probably be a theatric or dramatic game on Sunday, but at the same time, the nuances within it, I think you'll be able to pick up some growth areas for Tech, and that's what I'll be trying to do.
Tech Maryland Eastern Shore, that's a 3 p.m. tip Sunday afternoon. Lays, I'll let you go, my man. Thanks a bunch for the time today. Always a pleasure talking to you on the Blacksburg Airwaves. Glad we got to do it on the Richmond Airwaves this morning, man. We'll do it again soon.
Absolutely, Danny. When I lost you in Roanoke on Tuesday, I didn't think I'd find you in Richmond, but I'm glad we did.
Always a pleasure, my friend. That's the voice of the Hokies, John Lazor. And as always, John Lazor is brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff and there for you in any case. He's on Twitter at LazVT. For now, we'll step aside and we'll take a quick break. You're listening to Fox Sports 910 in Richmond.